Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on aspartame poisoning right after this. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers and said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law when they put into our Constitution, at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." But in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. In place of these just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coin. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our country, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that we teach here in the Mosaic Law School. We conduct that school twice a year here at the Law School in Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email, or in this case, go to our webpage, the archives, and you can download that free general law CD package right off of our website. That's georgegordon.org or georgegordon.com. Aspartame, a very common ingredient in foods and foodstuffs, especially if it's commercial and prepared foods. In the keynote address by the EPA, they announced that there was an epidemic of multiple sclerosis and systemic lupus, and that they did not understand what toxin was causing this to be so rampant across the United States. Well, when the temperature of aspartame exceeds 86 degrees Fahrenheit, the wood alcohol in aspartame converts to formaldehyde and then to formic acid, which in turn causes metabolic acidosis. Formic acid is the poison found in the sting of fire ants. The methanol toxicity mimics multiple sclerosis. So people were being diagnosed with having multiple sclerosis in error. The multiple sclerosis is not a death sentence, but methanol toxicity is. Now, in the case of systemic lupus, we're finding that it has become almost as rampant as multiple sclerosis, especially with Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi drinkers. And also with methanol toxicity, the victims usually drink 3 to 4 12-ounce cans of these products every day, some even more. And in the cases of systemic lupus, which is triggered by aspartame, the victim usually does not know that the aspartame is the culprit. The victim continues its use, aggravating the lupus to such a degree that sometimes it becomes life-threatening. Now, when we get people off of aspartame, those with systemic lupus usually become symptomatic. Unfortunately, we cannot reverse this disease. On the other hand, in the case of those diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, when in reality the disease is methanol toxicity, most of the symptoms simply disappear. Now, we've seen cases where their vision has returned and even their hearing has returned. This also applies to cases of tinnitus. During a lecture, I said, if you're using aspartame, that's a product found in NutraSweet, Equal, and Spoonful. And if you suffer from fibromyalgia symptoms, spasms, shooting pains, numbness in your legs, cramps, vertigo, dizziness, headaches, tinnitus, joint pain, depression, anxiety attacks, slurred speech, blurred vision, or memory loss, you probably have aspartame disease. Now, people were jumping up during my lecture saying, I've got this. Is it reversible? It is rampant. And some of the speakers at my lecture even were suffering from these symptoms. And in one lecture attended by the ambassador of Uganda, he told us that their country's sugar industry is actually adding aspartame to sugar. And he continued by saying that one of the industry's leaders' son could no longer walk, due in part by product usage. Now, we have a very serious problem here. Even a stranger came up to Dr. Ispisto, one of my speakers, and myself, and he said, could you tell me why so many people seem to be coming down with MS? During a visit to a hospice, a nurse said that 6 of her friends, who were heavy Diet Coke addicts, had all been diagnosed with MS. That's multiple sclerosis. Now, this is beyond coincidence. Here is the problem. There were congressional hearings when aspartame was included in 100 different products. Since this initial hearing, there have been 2 subsequent hearings, but to no avail. Nothing has ever been done. The drug and chemical lobbies have very deep pockets. Now, there are more than 5,000 products containing this chemical, and the patent has expired. At the time of this first hearing, people were going blind. The methanol in the aspartame converts to formaldehyde in the retina of your eye. Formaldehyde is grouped in the same class of drugs as cyanide and arsenic. These are deadly poisons. Unfortunately, it just takes longer to quietly kill you. But it is killing people, and it is causing all kinds of neurological problems. Aspartame changes the brain's chemistry. It is the reason for severe seizures. This drug changes the dopamine level in the brain. Now imagine what this drug does to patients suffering from Parkinson's disease. This drug also causes birth defects. There is absolutely no reason to take this product. It is not a diet product. It is sold as a diet product, but it's a fraud. Now, the congressional record said it makes you crave carbohydrates and will make you fat. Dr. Roberts stated that when he got patients off of aspartame, their average weight loss was 19 pounds per person. The formaldehyde stores in the fat cells of your body, and particularly in your hips and thighs. Aspartame is especially deadly for diabetics, and all physicians know what wood alcohol would do to a diabetic. We find that physicians believe that they have patients with retinopathy, when in fact it is caused by the aspartame poisoning. The aspartame keeps the blood sugar level out of control, causing many patients to go into a diabetic coma. Unfortunately, many of these patients have died. Now, people were telling us at the conference of the American College of Physicians that they had relatives that switched from saccharin to an aspartame product and how that relative had eventually gone into a coma. Their physicians could not get the blood sugar levels under control. Thus, the patient suffered acute memory loss and eventually coma and death. Now, memory loss is due to the fact that aspartic acid and phenylalanine are neurotoxic without the other amino acids found in protein. Thus, it goes past the blood-brain barrier and deteriorates the neurons of the brain. Dr. Russell Blaylock, a neurosurgeon, said, "The ingredient simulate the neurons of the brain to death. They simply excite. It's called an excitotoxin, causing brain damage of various degrees." And Dr. Blaylock has written a book entitled Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. You can get a copy from Health Press if you'll call the toll-free number 1-800-643-2665. Again, that's 1-800-643-2665. Severe vision loss. At the conference of the American College of Physicians, doctors admitted that they did not know. They had wondered why seizures were so rampant. The phenylalanine in aspartame breaks down the seizure threshold and depletes serotonin, which causes manic depression, panic attacks, rage, and violence. Just before the conference, I received a fax from Norway asking for a possible antidote for this poison because they are experiencing so many problems in that country. This poison is now available in 90-plus countries worldwide. Fortunately, we had several speakers and ambassadors at the conference from different nations who have pledged their help. And I ask that you help also. Print this article out and warn everyone you know. Take anything that contains aspartame back to the store. I assure you that Monsanto, the creator of aspartame, knows how deadly it is. They fund the American Diabetes Association, American Dietetic Association, Congress, and the Conference of the American College of Physicians. The New York Times, on November the 15th, 1996, ran an article on how the American Dietetic Association takes money from the food industry to endorse their products. Therefore, they cannot criticize any additives or tell about their link to Monsanto. Now, how bad is this? We told a mother who had a child on NutraSweet to get off the product. The child was having grand mal seizures every day. The mother called her physician, who called the ADA, that's the American Dietetic Association, who told the doctor not to take the child off of NutraSweet. We are still trying to convince the mother that the aspartame is causing the seizures. Every time we get someone off of aspartame, the seizures stop. Now, if the baby dies, you know whose fault it is and what we are up against. There are 92 documented symptoms of aspartame. They range from mild all the way to coma and death. The majority of these symptoms are all neurological because the aspartame destroys the nervous system. Aspartame disease is partially the cause of what is behind some of the mystery of the Desert Storm health problems from the Gulf War. The burning tongue and other problems discussed in over 60 cases can be directly related to the consumption of an aspartame product. Several thousand pallets of diet drinks were shipped to the Desert Storm troops. Remember, heat can liberate the methanol from the aspartame at temperatures above 86 degrees Fahrenheit. Diet drinks sat in the 120 degree plus Fahrenheit Arabian sun for weeks at a time on pallets. Then the servicemen and women drank them all day long. All of their symptoms are identical to aspartame poisoning. Dr. Roberts says consuming aspartame at the time of conception can cause birth defects. The phenylalanine concentrates in the placenta, causing mental retardation, according to Dr. Louis Elias, pediatrician professor genetics at Emory University, in his testing. In the original lab tests, animals developed brain tumors. Phenylalanine breaks down into DXP, which is a brain tumor agent. When Dr. Espisto was lecturing on aspartame, one physician in the audience, a neurosurgeon, said, "When they remove brain tumors, they have found high levels of aspartame in the tumors. Stevia, a sweet food, not an additive, which helps in the metabolism of sugar, which would be ideal for diabetics, has now been approved as a dietary supplement by the FDA. For years, the FDA has outlawed this sweet food because of their loyalty to Monsanto. Stevia, we know, is used in our products. If it says sugar-free on the label, do not even think about buying it." Senator Howard Metzenbaum wrote a bill that would have warned all infants, pregnant mothers, and children of the dangers of aspartame. The bill would have also instituted independent studies on the problems existing in the population at large. In seizures, changes in brain chemistry, changes in neurological and behavioral symptoms. It was killed by the powerful drug and chemical lobbies, letting loose the hounds of disease and death on an unsuspecting public. Since the conference of the American College of Physicians, we hope to have the help of some world leaders. There are a lot of people out there who must be warned, so please let them know this information and share this with everyone you know. That's the opening round in the controversy over aspartame. Now, aspartame was first approved back in the 1970s. It was tested and found wanting, and the FDA would not approve it until Donald Rumsfeld, recently the Secretary of Defense in the Bush administration conducting the Iraq War. Listen to this part of the story. Aspartame was not approved until 1981 in dry foods. For over 8 years, the FDA refused to approve it because of the seizures and brain tumors that this drug product had in lab animals. The Food and Drug Administration continued to refuse to approve it until President Reagan took office. President Reagan was a friend of the Searle Pharmaceutical Company, and he fired the FDA commissioner who would not approve it. Dr. Arthur Hull Hayes was appointed as commissioner. Even then, there was so much opposition to approval of aspartame that a board of inquiry was set up. And the board's conclusion was, do not approve aspartame. Dr. Hayes overruled his own board of inquiry. Shortly after, Commissioner Arthur Hull Hayes Jr. approved the use of aspartame in carbonated beverages, he left government service for a position with G.D. Searle's public relations firm. Now, Searle was later bought out by Monsanto. Monsanto are the good folks who brought you the genetically modified organisms. Now, aspartame causes long-term damage, and it appears to cause slow, silent damage to those unfortunate enough to not have immediate reactions and a reason to avoid it. It may take anywhere from 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, or 40 years, but it seems to cause some reversible and some irreversible changes in health over long-term use. Methanol, also known as wood alcohol poison, 10% of aspartame methanol wood alcohol is a deadly poison. People may recall that methanol was the poison that has caused some Skid Row alcoholics to end up blind or dead. Methanol is gradually released in the small intestine when the methyl group of aspartame encounter the enzyme called chymortispin. The absorption of methanol into the body is sped up considerably when free methanol is ingested. Free methanol is created from aspartame when it is heated to a temperature above 86 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about 30 degrees centigrade. This would occur when aspartame containing products is improperly stored or when it is heated. For example, as part of a food product such as Jell-O. Methanol breaks down into formic acid and formaldehyde in your body. Formaldehyde is a deadly neurotoxin. An EPA assessment of methanol states that methanol is considered a cumulative poison due to the low rate of excretion once it is absorbed. In your body, methanol is oxidized into formaldehyde and formic acid. Both of these metabolites are toxic. The recommended limit of consumption of 7.8 milligrams a day. Now, a 1 liter, that's approximately 1 quart, aspartame sweetened beverage contains about 56 milligrams of methanol. Now remember, about 8 milligrams a day is the maximum limit. But 1 quart of aspartame sweetened beverage contains 7 times the maximum allowed or recommended daily intake. Heavy users of aspartame containing products consume as much as 250 milligrams of methanol every day, or 32 times the EPA limit. Then the most well-known problems from methanol poisoning are vision problems. Formaldehyde is a known carcinogen. It causes retinal damage. It interferes with DNA replication and causes birth defects. Due to the lack of a couple of key enzymes, humans are many times more sensitive to the toxic effects of methanol than are animals. Therefore, tests of aspartame or methanol on animals do not accurately reflect the danger for humans. As pointed out by Dr. Woodrow C. Monte, director of the Food Science and Nutrition Laboratory at Arizona State University, there are no human or mammalian studies to evaluate the possible mutagenic, teratogenic or carcinogenic effects of chronic administration of methyl alcohol. It has been pointed out that fruit juices and alcoholic beverages contain small amounts of methanol. It is important to remember that the methanol in natural products never appears alone. In every case, ethanol is present, usually in much higher amounts. Ethanol is an antidote for methanol toxicity in humans. The troops of Desert Storm were treated to large amounts of aspartame sweetened beverages, which had been heated to over 86 degrees Fahrenheit in the Saudi Arabian sun. Many of them returned home with numerous disorders similar to what has been seen in persons who have been chemically poisoned by formaldehyde. The free methanol in the beverages may have been a contributing factor in these illnesses. Other breakdown products of aspartame, such as DKP, may also have been a factor. In a 1993 act that can only be described as unconscionable, the FDA approved aspartame as an ingredient in numerous food items that would always be heated to above 86 degrees Fahrenheit. That's about 30 degrees centigrade. Much worse, on the 27th of June 1996, without any public notice, the FDA removed all restrictions from aspartame, allowing it to be used in everything, including all heated and baked goods. Let me pause here and we'll make a couple of comments. This aspartame is a very profitable product. It costs very little to manufacture, and it is now used in more than 5,000 products that you find in your supermarket. In fact, it is so common that it may be used and never even mentioned on the ingredients label. And while the ingredient label is required to contain the ingredients in the product, what happens is aspartame may be an ingredient, let's say, in baking powder. Well, if you had a can of baking powder and you looked on the ingredient level or label, it would tell you that it contains aluminum, it contains aspartame, and so on. But if that baking powder is used in cookies, then the label on the cookies will say, this product contains baking powder or baking soda. It doesn't list the aspartame because the aspartame is a part of the baking soda. So oftentimes we're ingesting a cumulative poison, and cumulative means that you take a little bit of it today, and you take a little bit more of it tomorrow. Let's suppose that you're eating some Jell-O, and you get a little Jell-O today, and you get a little Jell-O tomorrow, and a little Jell-O the day after, and over time, the aspartame that's in the Jell-O, which is heated over time that it's cooked to something above 86 degrees, you're ingesting formaldehyde. It's just a tiny amount, but over time, it builds up in your tissues until at some point in time, you begin to develop one or more of the 92 symptoms that have now been associated with aspartame. Now, you might ask, my God, would government allow the food manufacturing companies and pharmaceutical companies to put something that they know is a deadly poison into our food supply? And the answer is yes, yes, and yes, they would. They have, they are, and they will continue. Now, much worse, on the 27th of June, 1996, without any public notice, the FDA removed all restrictions from aspartame, allowing it to be used in everything, including all heated and baked goods. So when I say yes, yes, and yes, there's your answer. It happened on June 27th, 1996. Now, why would they do that? Well, because it doesn't readily kill people. You don't drink a diet soda pop and then grab your throat and gasp for air and then fall over dead. It doesn't happen that way. It's a slow, toxic poison that accumulates in your body over a long period of time. It causes symptoms, and oftentimes the symptoms that you're experiencing mimic the symptoms of other known diseases like multiple sclerosis or lupus. So you go to your doctor, like the Gulf War veterans, and the doctor gives you all these tests, and when he gets through, he says, oh my God, you've got multiple sclerosis. And they start treating you for multiple sclerosis, and nothing happens because they can't cure multiple sclerosis. And the treatment doesn't appear to help you any, but it doesn't appear to make it any worse. And so you muddle through your life with a disease that you can't identify, and you feel bad all the time, and you can never get any relief. And that's because nobody is addressing the problem. And the problem they think that you have is being treated with the wrong regimen. This is why the Gulf War veterans are having such a hard time trying to prove their case. And then when they go to the VA and they say, hey, I've got this symptom, I've got these bad feelings, the Veterans Administration says, no, you're a malingerer. You're just trying to get on the dole. And so they send them away. They've got a real problem, and nobody seems to be able to solve it. And that's because nobody's been able to diagnose the problem. And that's because the food and the pharmaceutical industries are doing their best to keep it suppressed. And they've got the money, they've got the means, and they've got the connections to do just that. And they have succeeded in the past, they're succeeding today, and there isn't any reason to believe they will not continue their success into the future. Meanwhile, we're at the halfway point. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. And we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now that's eight schools in all. Now the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you listen to our program on the Internet or you have Internet connections, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org or georgegordon.com. Go to our archives page and download it directly. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing and recommending are necessarily going to reciprocate and endorse and recommend the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We should all keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then we invite you to go to our website at georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are talking about aspartame, and in particular, aspartame poisoning. Aspartame is a neurotoxin. That is, it attacks your nervous system, the nerve endings. So when we take a look at incurable diseases like Alzheimer's disease, one of the symptoms of aspartame poisoning is memory loss. One of the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease is memory loss. Has anybody ever thought that the continuous and heavy use of aspartame or other artificial sweeteners may be the cause of your Alzheimer's disease, and that perhaps, just perhaps, instead of trying to take drugs to cure or to delay the onset of Alzheimer's disease, that if you would stop poisoning yourself, that the disease or the symptoms might go away. I know it's a wild new thought. It's a bold new concept. But as I've mentioned in the past, there's only two ways for you to get sick. Number one, we have to poison you, of which aspartame is just one of many poisons that are put in your food supply, and you eat or ingest it every day. That's one. And that causes symptoms. And your symptoms may take on many different forms. In fact, in the Merck handbook that all physicians have, it's called the Physician's Desk Reference, it lists some 450 symptoms. 450 symptoms. And, for instance, let's just take a look at neurologic symptoms like epileptic seizures, headaches, migraines, and some severe dizziness, unsteadiness, or confusion, memory loss, severe drowsiness and sleepiness, paresthesia or numbness of the limbs. These are neurologic symptoms now. Severe slurring of speech, severe hyperactivity, and restless legs. Atypical facial pain and severe tremors. Now, in watching the television, have you seen preparations being sold and hawked on the CBS Evening News for restless leg syndrome? Now, for most of you people out there, restless leg syndrome is something that's just come up recently, and you see that, and you're 25 or 30 years old, and you say, oh, restless leg syndrome. That's probably been around since Moses' time. Now, I'm an old man, and I'm pushing my 70s here, and I never heard of restless leg syndrome. Never heard of it. It's a new phenomenon. It just come up in the last, the last 5 years? Have I heard about it for the last 5 years? When was the first time I saw an advertisement for restless leg syndrome? Now, let me tell you a little story here. The first time that science came up with a description for a disease, back in 1943, there's a disease here. See if I can think of the name of it here. I've got Alzheimer's on my mind now. It's the one where children rock back and forth. I'll think of the name of it here in a minute. But it was in 1943 that they came up with this description for this. And the science community had never seen it before, never heard of it. So they come up with a new disease. You see, in the Bible, there's a prediction. There's a prophecy in Deuteronomy 28. And here's God. He comes along. He says, I will lay upon you diseases that you have never heard before. Never heard of before. So, when I hear of restless leg syndrome and Alzheimer's disease and muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, these are diseases that when I was a kid, the names hadn't even been invented yet because we'd never heard of them before. So now we're living in a time when these diseases are now being copyrighted, patented, they're being hawked and sold. And now the pharmaceutical industry comes along and says, Hey, listen, we've got a treatment for this thing called restless leg syndrome. I don't know what the treatment is. They give you a pill of some kind, maybe it's Valium or something, or morphine, and calms you down. Well, what was it that excited your legs to start with and gave you this restless leg syndrome? Was it aspartame poisoning? Hey, was it refined carbohydrates? You know, children have this thing called ADD. I forgot now what that ADD stands for there, but it's, you know, they're given Ritalin to children now to calm them down in the classroom. Has it ever occurred to any of us that maybe the child is being hyperactive because of the refined carbohydrates, you know, that he's getting in his soda pop? You know, I went to public school, for crying out loud, and we never had any ADD when I went to school. Back in the 1930s and 40s and 50s, we didn't have a problem with hyperactive children, but we do today. What is it that has changed over the last 50 years? It's the consumption of refined carbohydrates, commonly known as sugar. We now in the United States drink twice as much soda pop as we did 20 years ago. And coincidentally, at the same time, the incidence of diabetes has gone up by double. Have we taken leave of our senses to such a degree that we're unable to put two and two together and come to a conclusion? Now, for young people, those, you know, the majority of you people out there listening to me right now, you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s, and I've lived twice as long as you have, and so I can think in my mind goes back to the 1940s without any problems, and I can remember as a child, once in a while, we would get a treat called Coca-Cola. Oh my God, it was like going to heaven. And a Coca-Cola was 6.5 ounces. It was in a special bottle. In fact, I think they still make those special bottles, or at least I've got a bunch of them up in the attic where I've taken it for medicinal use. Coca-Cola has some medicinal use. And I've got those 6.5 ounce or 8 ounce bottles. But back when I was a kid, 6.5 ounces, and maybe once a month, I'd get one of those. I'm going to say once a month. Hell, it might have been once a week. I remember as a paper boy, I know I was drinking more than one a week because I had the money to buy it. But I mean, you know, before I was 12 years old, you know, from age 5 to 12, in that period of time, you know, if I got a Coke, boy, that was a rare treat. Now, I was over at Ryan's the other day. Just observing people. I'm an observer of people. And I notice that when people sit down to eat their dinner, not just the children, but the adults as well, what is the beverage that people drink when they're eating dinner at Ryan's? And the answer is soda pop. Soda pop. Now, I drink water. And that's not necessarily good. It's got fluoride and chlorine in it. But in any event, I think that fluorine and chloride is probably better for me than 10 teaspoons of sugar. 10. You see, your body can only digest 3 teaspoons of sugar per day. In a 24-hour period, 3 teaspoons is all your body of these refined carbohydrates. This is this mainline white sugar. 3. 1 soda pop, 12-ounce soda pop, which is double what we used to get when I was a kid, and I got one a month. And today, the children are drinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 a day. And we wonder why the children are fat, and we wonder why they're hyperactive. We wonder why we have restless leg syndrome and why diabetes has doubled in the last 20 years. Boys and girls, let me tell you the answer. It's refined carbohydrates. Now, sugar is natural, and when you eat sugar in the form of, let's say, peaches, pears, in foods, you know, particularly fruits, those are called complex carbohydrates. Now, these complex carbohydrates have enzymes put in them by God Himself, the designer, the master chemist. When He designed pears, apples, and peaches, He put in an enzyme to digest those complex carbohydrates. Now, sugar tastes real good. I don't deny it. Hell, sugar is almost as good as sex down at Flo's Whorehouse. But, we humans, being very innovative, creative critters, we have developed simple carbohydrates. We have taken cane and beet sugar, that's cane sugar and beet sugar, and we have created a thing called simple carbohydrates. These simple carbohydrates do not have any enzymes in them to digest them. So now you drink this Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola or some soft drink over here, and it doesn't have any corresponding enzymes to digest it. Therefore, your body has to develop, has to create, has to produce the enzymes to digest it. And your body can only handle 3 teaspoons of this heavy-duty stuff per day. So we load it up, you know, with every 12-ounce Coca-Cola, we load it up with 9, 3 times as much as we can handle. And then our pancreas is unable to turn out enough insulin to digest it. And that's what our problem is. So, I know you don't want to give up your soda pop, and God love you. I don't want you to give it up either, because I don't really care whether you die, have restless leg syndrome, or you get diabetes. It's no skin off my back one way or the other. As a reporter, though, I picked up this story as kind of an adjunct of what I've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. We're talking about health and murder by injection, and we're talking about quackery and the drug industry and the drug trust and so on. And so there's a product out here in the marketplace called aspartame. Because of the evils created by these simple carbohydrates called sugar, the food industry comes up along with the chemical and pharmaceutical industry and says, what we need here is a sweetener that doesn't have any calories, doesn't have the byproducts of this thing called sugar. So they come up with light, or they come up with sugar-free. Now, that's a great idea. And I got to admit that we need to solve this sugar problem. And so the Monsanto people came up with aspartame and said, look, everybody knows how bad this sugar stuff is. Let's put in a chemical in its place to take away all the evils of sugar. And they did. Okay, but now that we've solved the evils of sugar, we have now created 92 symptoms that we never had before. And so now we've got a problem that's as bad as, probably worse than what we had with the original sugar problem. So there you are. Now you can just take in all the sugar that you want in the natural forms. For instance, one of the sweetest things that I know of is honey. Honey. That stuff is really sweet. And you cannot overdose on honey. It's impossible. Test it. Sit down and start eating honey. Just eat it, and eat it, and eat it, and eat it. And one of two things is going to happen. Either one, you will become so satiated with this honey that you'll just get sick and say, I don't want to eat another bite. Or if you continue to eat it and force it down, you will puke. You will vomit it out. One of two things can happen. Now, if you think you can overdose on bananas, you just sit down with a bunch of bananas. Go to the store and buy yourself a bunch of bananas, sit down, eat one. And then peel another one, eat two. Then peel another one, eat three. Then peel another one, eat four, five, six, seven. I'll guarantee you, you'll never overdose on bananas. It's impossible. Because the banana has in it minerals, and the minerals, when they reach your stomach, when they reach the saturation point, your stomach just says, that's enough of that crap, don't put any more of that in here. You cannot do that with Coca-Cola. You can never get enough Coke. I don't care how much you can drink, you can always drink more. And you will, continue to drink and drink and drink. You can't get enough Jell-O. You can't get enough cake. You can't get enough because, see, there's no minerals in it. And when there's no mineral in a product, it never your stomach never says, shut it off, stop. And so you just keep eating and eating and eating. Now, you're getting all the calories, and that's why we're getting fatter and fatter and fatter. We're getting all these calories. The calories make us fat, but we don't get the minerals that tell us that's enough, shut it off. That's enough, shut it off. So we eat the carbohydrates, that's the sugar, and then we get fat, we get bad health, and then somebody says, well, what we need is a diet drink. What we need is something with no calories. And so they come along and say, well, this aspartame doesn't have any calories. But it's addictive, it's a drug, and when you suck in this aspartame, it sends a signal to your body that says we need more carbohydrates. And so now you want to eat more Jell-O. Now you want to eat more chips. You want to eat more and more and more. So you eat more and more, which makes you fat. And then you wonder, why am I fat? And the answer is the diet soda that you're drinking is addictive. It's a chemical poison. And you're drinking the chemical poison, which tells you to eat more and more spaghetti, more and more Jell-O, more and more carbohydrates, chips and dip, which then adds more and more calories, which makes you fatter and fatter, so you drink more and more Diet Coke, so that you get more and more of the excitotoxins, which tell you to eat more and more carbohydrates, which in turn. See where we're going with this? Now, there's where your problem is. So at some point in time, you have to either, one, die, or two, you've got to come to a sense of reality and stop doing that, one or the other. Now, my mission in life is not to persuade you that I'm right and you're wrong and that you need to change your diet. I don't care what you do. But it's my mission in life to make sure that you have the facts so that you can make an intelligent decision for yourself. Somebody needs to tell you about this aspartame trap, the aspartame poison. So that's what we're doing this week. We're going to tell you about the aspartame poison, which just takes me up to about... We're out of time, so I'm going to have to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.